Today, Bond Macro warns as markets feed on strong earnings for now. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post-covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. We start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and then Australia, and we cover commodities and crypto along the way. Markets tend to be myopic, focusing on the latest shiny thing like a magpie. And recently, the latest US earnings season was in focus, with more than 90% of S&P 500 companies having reported results. Overall, first quarter earnings jumped 29% from a year earlier. But now that is in the rearview mirrors, and investors are weighing the likelihood of a near-term deal to end the US-Israeli war with Iran. US Secretary of State Marco Rubio indicated the United States had made some progress towards a deal with Iran, but more work's required, while Iran's foreign ministry spokesman said that the two sides' differences were deep and significant. Meanwhile, the Straits of Hormuz, that vital waterway with a fifth of the world's oil, remains effectively shuttered, maintaining upward pressure on oil prices. US crude rose to $96.60 a barrel, and Brent rose to $104.25 US. This is inflationary and is driving bond yields to new highs. This macro picture is now coming back into focus, and a clue is gold prices, which slipped on Friday for a weekly decline, as signs of progress in peace talks between the US and Iran were outweighed by elevated interest rate hike expectations. Markets have been driven higher by booming demand for AI-related stocks, even as concerns about the economic fallout from the war remains. The global MSCI index was up 1.34% across the week, while the Stoxx 600 rose 3.02% to the highest level in more than a month. Actually, it logged their biggest weekly gain in seven, while the All Asia ex Japan was up 1.49%. The ASX 200 rose 0.4% on Friday to be up a modest 0.3% after a volatile stretch marked by four sessions with moves exceeding 1%, including two gains and two losses for the week. On Wall Street, the Dow posted a record closing high, and the S&P 500 registered an eighth straight week of gains. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.58% to 50,579.70. The S&P 500 gained 0.37% to 7,474.07. And the Nasdaq Composite rose 0.19% to 26,243.97. For the week, the S&P 500 was up 0.9%, while the Nasdaq gained 0.5%, while the Dow outperformed with a 2.1% increase. Apple rose 1.3% to $308.82 for a market cap of $4.54 trillion. That's a record high closing valuation for the iPhone maker. Its shares peaked earlier in the session, actually, at $311.40. After a lackluster start, 2026, Apple's shares have rallied more than 13% in the last month. Meanwhile, Nvidia once again easily beat quarterly top and bottom line expectations and provided current quarter revenue guidance that topped estimates. The world's largest company noted sky-high demand for its high-end premium chips that power artificial intelligence processes. But with the AI trade having seen a furious rally this year, concern over Nvidia's $5 trillion plus valuation weighed on the stock, and it was last at $215.33. Elsewhere, Class A shares of Workday gained 5.2% on first quarter results from the company that topped expectations. The company provided financial guidance that was viewed as upbeat during a time when software stocks in general have been pressurized by competition from cutting-edge AI models. Zoom Communications climbed 9.2% after posting strong earnings and guidance. And separately, Estée Lauder's shares jumped 12% after the US cosmetic giant and Spanish beauty brand Puig announced that they had terminated discussions over a possible tie-up, which would have created one of the world's biggest beauty companies. The volatility of the index was down 0.36% to 16.70. That's a new three-month low. But as the excitement of results season passed, investors are now worried that ongoing energy disruptions because of the conflict will filter through to core consumer prices, potentially forcing a tighter monetary policy response, driving a larger negative correlation between bond yields and stock prices. While the yield on benchmark 10-year notes fell just a little to 4.553% from 4.584% late on Thursday, a sell-off earlier in the week led yields to hit month or year-long highs, with the 10-year yield on Tuesday reaching its highest level since January 2025, and the longer-end US 30-year yield hit levels not seen since 2007 during the week. Kevin Warsh was sworn in as the Fed chair on Friday, as money markets fully priced in a rise by December. Trump said Warsh would have a free policy hand. And in a speech in Frankfurt, Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller said he supports making clear the central bank's net interest rate move is just as likely to be an increase as a cut. The minutes of the Federal Reserve's April meeting this week showed that a majority of policymakers were now considering rate hikes as appropriate if energy-driven inflation persisted. As before Warsh took charge at the Fed, data from the University of Michigan showed that US consumer sentiment fell in May to a record low, and long-term inflation expectations worsened notably due to the Iran war, as surging gasoline prices fueled anxiety over worsening affordability. The University of Michigan final May sentiment index decreased 5 points to 44.8 from April. Consumers expect prices to rise an annualized 3.9% over the next 5 to 10 years, up from 3.5% in April, and the highest in 7 months. And they also saw costs advancing 4.8% over the next year. The dollar held near 6-week highs as traders monitored talks on the war and assessed whether the US Federal Reserve would indeed raise interest rates if inflation continued to accelerate. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, rose to 99.32, with the euro down to 1.1603. Against the Japanese yen, the dollar strengthened to 159.20. A view of inflation is due on Thursday with the April reading of the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. The release of PCE, the measure favoured by the Federal Reserve, at least for now, for setting its 2% inflation target, follows hot readings of this month on the other gauges of consumer and producer prices. European stocks fell on Friday as investors oscillated between optimism and pessimism around the trajectory of talks to end the Iran war. The pan-European stock 600 rose 0.7%, the DAX in Germany was 1.3% higher, and the CAC 40 in France gained 0.4%, while the FTSE 100 in the UK climbed 0.2%, all despite downward pressure from a recent uptick in government debt yields in the US and the Eurozone, driven largely by bets that the central banks, including the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank, may need to hike interest rates in the coming months to combat Iran-related inflation. UK 30-year debt spiked before falling back to 5.528%. New data showed that British retail sales fell by the most in nearly a year during April. That's another sign of waning consumer spending against the backdrop of the Iran war and rising energy costs. British consumers are the least willing to make big purchases in almost a year and a half, according to the survey. And meanwhile, economic data out of Europe was in focus. Consumer sentiment in Germany, the powerhouse of the European currency area, has displayed potential early indicators of recovery, while the overall economy was confirmed to have expanded by 0.3% in the first quarter of this year. But as analysts at ING noted, European business activity has flashed warning signals around the stagflationary effect of the conflict in Iran, referring to an economic scenario in which inflation is elevated while growth is muted. In individual stocks, Swiss luxury goods firm Richemont notched higher than anticipated fiscal fourth quarter revenue, sending shares up in early deal-making. Asian stock markets extended gains on Friday for weekly advances as chip makers rebounded after the upbeat earnings from Nvidia, while unresolved issues in the US-Iran negotiations kept investors cautious. Investors piled back into chip makers after Nvidia's strong outlook underscored resilient spending on AI infrastructure. In Japan, data on Friday showed core consumer inflation slowed to a four-year low of 1.4% in April, easing from 1.8% in March and missing market forecasts, largely though due to government fuel subsidies and lower education costs. A core reading that excludes both fresh food and energy prices fell to 1.9% in April from 2.4% of the prior month. Both the readings are now below the Bank of Japan's 2% annual target, but Japanese inflation still shows signs of resilience. Underlying inflation remains close to the 2% annual target, so the inflation data did little to alter expectations the Bank of Japan could raise interest rates later in the year, with some investors still betting on a possible June move as surging oil costs and a weak yen threatened to push prices higher again. Japan's Nikkei 225 jumped more than 2.5% to hover near record highs, and it was actually nearly 3% up for the week. Japan's broader topics rose nearly 1%. Japan's long bond spiked last week before falling back just a little to 3.995%, but it's still well above levels earlier in the year. Japanese technology investor SoftBank Group extended sharp gains on optimism over a potential OpenAI initial public offering and expectations that Arm Holdings will benefit from booming AI demand. China and the US agreed in principle to reduce tariffs on selected goods after the recent top-level summit in Beijing. The two countries agreed to establish trade and investment councils to discuss issues such as tariff reductions and have agreed in principle to reduce tariffs on products of equal size of concern to each other. China and the US will work on expanding two-way trade in agriculture products through mutual tariff reductions on a certain range of products. And it was not immediately clear, though, what products this would entail. The two will also work on non-tariff barriers and market access issues relating to agricultural goods, according to the China Commerce Ministry. China and the US also reached agreements on the purchase of American aircraft, and the US's guarantee to supply aircraft engines and parts to Beijing, the Commerce Ministry said in a statement. China's Shanghai Composite Index rose 0.5%, along with the CSI 300, while the Hong Kong Hang Seng climbed 1.3%. South Korea's KOSPI edged 0.2% higher for a 4.5% weekly jump. Samsung Electronics shares fell 2% on Friday as union workers began voting on the tentative pay agreement reached earlier in the week that narrowly averted a potentially damaging 18-day strike involving tens of thousands of employees. Samsung shares had jumped 9% on Thursday after the tentative agreement led to the suspension of strike action. India's Nifty 50 rose just a little, up 0.27% on Friday. The Australian share market posted its second weekly gain in 6 weeks as investors returned to equities on optimism over a potential US-Iran peace deal and rising unemployment, which could keep the Reserve Bank of Australia from raising interest rates further, possibly. The ASX 200 rose 0.4% to 8,657, with 7 of the 11 sectors stronger. For the week, the benchmark was up 0.3% after a volatile stretch marked by 4 sessions with moves exceeding 1%, including 2 gains and 2 losses. Materials were the strongest on gains by copper miners after UBS lifted its price forecast for the metal across both 2026 and 2028 by as much as 13%. BHP rose 1.1% to $59.75. South 32 was 5.1% higher to $4.35. And Evolution Mining was up by 3.2% to $12.17 as UBS upgraded it to a buy. Guzman y Gomez ended market leader as it rose 9.6% to $19.81 as it announced that it would leave the US market immediately after the business failed to meet financial performance hurdles. The discretionary sector, however, was lower, as Light & Wonder lost 1.4% to $114.80. The rebound in oil prices supported the energy sector, with Woodside Energy up 0.9% to $30.10, and Santos up by 1.4% to $8.24. Communications services were the weakest sector, as CAR Group dropped 2.8% to $24.82, and Telstra fell 1.5% to $5.38. Chuas fell 62% in the week as it closed Friday flat at $2.31, after terminating its $1.5 billion agreement to acquire Singapore-based M1. Financials were mixed, with Insurance Australia Group falling 4% after Citi warned it could face major claims arising from the failed financier Greensill. ANZ edged up 0.5%. National Australia Bank was 0.6% higher. Commonwealth Bank rose 0.8% and Westpac was up 1.3%. Appen soared 9.4% to $1.22 after reaffirming its 2026 revenue guidance of $270 million to $300 million at its annual meeting. And Mayne Pharma climbed 3% to $2.43 after it won $13.27 million in legal fees from US pharmaceutical giant Cosette, which wrongfully tried to cancel its proposed purchase of the Adelaide-based drug maker last year. The Aussie was at 71.27 US cents and 53.07 UK pence, and the 10-year was at 4.926%, while the 30-year was at a significant 5.418%. Westpac expects Australia's headline inflation rate to rise 0.9% in April, lifting annual CPI to 4.8% as markets brace for broader cost pressures linked to the Middle East conflict. Westpac forecasts trimmed mean inflation of 0.4% for the month, pushing the annual underlying inflation rate up to 3.5%, with inflation expected to peak at 4% in October. While March inflation was largely contained to fuel prices, Westpac warned signs of second-round inflation pressures are now emerging across the economy, including construction materials, transport surcharges, and business input costs. And NAB expects 4.4% for headline and 3.4% for core. Bitcoin slid on Friday, falling below the 76,000 US level amid a fresh wave of liquidations and elevated expectations for interest rate hikes. The world's large cryptocurrency had a second straight week of losses as a boost to risk sentiment due to signs of progress against the US and Iran failed to lift cryptocurrencies. Sustained outflows from Bitcoin exchange traded funds, along with a pullback following a US Senate legislative breakthrough, has weighed on digital assets. Bitcoin was last down to 74,694, and for the week it was down nearly 3%. The latest decline in Bitcoin also triggered another round of liquidations across leveraged crypto positions. CoinGlass data showed $200 million worth in crypto liquidations over the past 24 hours. And elsewhere, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, has postponed a plan to provide exemptions for US crypto firms to trade tokenized assets linked to stocks. The SEC staff were preparing to release its innovation exemption for tokenized stocks as soon as this week, Bloomberg said, adding that a draft of the plan had been prepared and reviewed by staff, but the timing has been pushed back as the SEC considers input from stock exchange officials and other market participants who held discussions with agency staff in recent days to learn details of the plan. One part that raised concerns is a move to allow trading of third-party tokens which would be issued without the backing or consent of the public companies involved. And other cryptos followed Bitcoin, with the world number two crypto Ethereum declining 3.1% to $2,029 US, while world number three crypto XRP slipped 2.8% to $1.3114. Next week across the Tasman, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand policymakers are expected to hold rates steady when they meet on Wednesday, one day before the New Zealand government releases its latest budget. But the property market over there remains in the doldrums, as I discussed yesterday. And also note that the US markets are closed on Monday for Memorial Day. So we are at this pivot point where the question of what bonds do becomes ever more important, the macro question. And that in turn, of course, is linked to what happens in the Straits of Hormuz. So ahead, I think we can expect more volatility, more uncertainty, because so far as I can see, it's pretty much checkmate in the Gulf, and there's no simple way out. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.